Well, welcome back, ladies. In this segment, we do our Bible study, and here we are with our teacher, Beth Seifert, who is going to teach us in the book of Romans. Thank you, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we were talking about how the Spirit works in our lives, helping us to focus on what God wants us to focus on, instead of being consumed with the things of this world. And today we're going to continue to learn more about the Spirit and what He does in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans. We're going to be in chapter 8. Today we're going to be in verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We all have debts to pay. Mortgages, student loans, perhaps a car loan. Yet that's not what Paul is talking about here. When we are living in and as the world, we are joining allegiance with a world that is in total rebellion against God. We're his enemies. When we die to the flesh, we're no longer in this rebellion. We are now alive in Christ. So Christ has paid my ransom, and I'm eternally in his debt. I have an obligation, an IOU, if you will, to him because of the price he has paid for me. I am no longer my own. Now, this isn't like being in debt to the bank or to a loan shark or to your in-laws. The one who paid the ransom for me is perfectly good, perfectly holy, and perfectly right. The debt I owe him is my life, truly. And the way I show that I get that I owe him is by giving him my life. Again, this is not a here's a list, check it off kind of a thing. This is a stop living to the flesh and live to the Spirit, offering yourself, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to his purpose. Not just because he asks it of us, but because we truly understand how much we have been saved from and we want to please him. We need to take an active role in battling the sin in our lives, not just saying, well, if God wants me to stop that sin, then he'll miraculously just make me stop it. We have to realize that battling sin is just that, a battle, and it must be fought. But that battle isn't one against other people. It's a spiritual battle, and we can't use human tactics to fight a spiritual battle. In these verses, we see the confirmation also of our adoption as God's dearly loved children. Notice how we are not made holy. We are not made holy in a crisis moment when suddenly we are made perfect. We are also not made holy while we sit idly and let God take over. This is a battle and it must be fought. We are also not made holy when we reach some turning point decision that somehow propels us to a higher plane of holiness. No. The Spirit provides the energy and power we need to gradually, not suddenly, and continually, until we are dead, be killing our sins. When we live by the flesh, remember, we are living for the temporal, and thus we are living for death. Everything temporal has a finite end. When we are living for the eternal, we are putting to death the flesh and living to the Spirit. We don't do this on our own. You cannot wake up and decide to do this without help from the Spirit. Remember, spiritual battle requires spiritual weapons. We are led by the Spirit of God, led by Him, guided, directed, shepherded when we go astray, corrected when our plans or thoughts are off. Verse 14 bears staring at, mostly to dispel some of the false teaching that is out there regarding the Holy Spirit. Believers are not led through subjective mental impressions or promptings to provide direction in making life's decisions. Scripture does not teach that. Instead, God's Spirit objectively leads His children sometimes through the orchestration of circumstances, as in Acts 16:7, but primarily through divinely clarifying Scripture to make it understandable to our sinful, finite minds, and through sanctification, divinely enabling us to obey Scripture. Check the study guide for today for Scripture references to demonstrate those two truths. There's just too many of them for me to read them all out today. So check the study guide. They will be in there. When we do not have Christ, we are slaves to our fear of death. Seriously, look at how big Halloween has gotten just in the last 5 years even. Death is big business, and people are fascinated and horrified by it. They are led by their fear of death and their fear of the final punishment that they know is to come. Remember, all men are without excuse, even while they suppress the truth. The Spirit is what frees us from our flesh. While He leads and guides us, He does so as a father leads children and rebukes his sons. We've been brought in as children of our God. We have an intimate relationship with Him. He is our daddy, our Abba. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of confidence that we are His children. The Spirit Himself testifies that we are God's children and His heirs. We can come before Him without fear or hesitation, as He is our beloved Father. What confidence we have that we are truly sons and daughters of God. Every believer has been made an heir of God, and that truth is not just found here. Unlike the Jewish practice of the primacy of the firstborn son, under Roman law, an inheritance was divided equally amongst the children. Also, the law protected inherited possessions much more carefully under that Roman law as well. Christ is to be the heir of all things, yet every adopted child will receive by divine grace, not by right, the full inheritance that Christ receives as His divine right. One mark of us being His children is our willingness to suffer as Christ did. We can face these sufferings because we know that they are temporary and we know that they're for His glory. A book that details what Christians have been going through for the past 50 years in different countries is called Tortured for Christ. Let me tell you, the things these Christians endured for His name's sake is nothing short of miraculous. Many were tortured to death. Many were crippled. But afterward, they would discuss with each other the things they had been through and, brace yourselves, they wished they were still being tortured. Not because they were sadistic or masochistic or anything like that, but because the Spirit provided in amazing ways for them, physically and spiritually, and they missed that closeness to Christ that they experienced in the midst of their torture. They were never closer to Him than when they were completely alone, except His Spirit within them. They had to rely on Him. They had nothing else or no one else to rely on. And they relied on Him in ways that we can't even fathom. Being able to bless the men who were torturing them, praying for them as they were dying. And once they were out amongst the world again, they fell back into the patterns of relying on themselves, of taking life for granted, and they longed for that close fellowship with Him again. I guess my question for us today is this. Are we living in fear? Are we still defined by having a spirit of fear? That's not the spirit our Father wants us to have. He wants us to be freed from our flesh and confident in our status as His child, to know that we are loved and to be ready to act upon that love when He calls us. It may be something as simple as Him calling you to stop and listen as your child tells you for the 100th time how He has built this amazing transformer with His blocks, and He tells you all the way it works when you'd rather be scanning Facebook. It may be something like making a meal and taking it to a sick neighbor or friend. He calls us to be His skin, to be His ambassador in so many ways every day, to suffer just a little bit to our flesh, to be inconvenienced, to glorify Him. What is He calling you to today? Are you letting a spirit of fear or inconvenience keep you from His purpose?
Well, thank you, Beth, for that Bible study. And ladies, remember, you can find all of the podcasts that Beth has recorded for us, as well as wonderful notes that she has for us on our website. Just go to the Bible Studies tab, naomistable.com, and download to your heart's content. We'll be back to talk more about this lesson in just a moment.